This week, if you're like me, guess what did you hear? Well, the last couple of weeks, all I've been hearing was about the price of eggs. I mean, everywhere, eggs, and it's like some people up the road that sell eggs, some Amish people that sell eggs off of their farm there. Their prices have inched up. There's a guy here on 23 I saw that he was selling, he has out to $3 for a dozen. I don't know if it's still $3. Now it's probably $13. I don't, he probably put a one in front of it. But all you've been hearing about eggs, eggs, eggs. So they, I'm told that the, and I know our egg prices when we make eggnog, you know, the egg prices definitely are a commodity and they fluctuate. But they say it's because of the bird flu, right? That the price of eggs gone crazy. But so I looked like how many people, like, so the bird flu that they say, is, so the chickens will get the bird flu and then they'll just wipe out the whole flock, the whole, you know, all the barns filled with chickens. I was like, how many people died of bird flu? Do you know how many people have died of bird flu? Oh, since 2013, there's been 616 deaths from bird flu. Okay. I was like, so we're destroying all our chickens. So we find it and they're trying to control stuff. And yeah, I get that, but 616 deaths in the span of less than or more than 10 years. And I was like, okay, auto industry, accidents. Last year, there was 42,000 deaths for automobile accidents. Do we cancel out all the cars? Do we shut down a whole industry for cars because there's 42,000? And that happens like every year. It's between like 35 and 42,000 people that, so it's over 100 deaths per day on our roads in just the United States. But we don't destroy all the cars. I does that make sense to anybody? It doesn't make sense to me, but I just kind of thought about that this week. So, which took me then to egg jokes. Because Easter is coming and, you know, we have Easter eggs and all that other stuff. So, why did the egg cross the road? Bonnie, you like this one? To get to the other shell station. Okay, yeah, shell, okay. What is an egg's least favorite day of the week? Friday. I let you think of that. That was, yeah, Friday. Yep. Friday. That's the only one you got. Why did one egg get mad at the other egg? It was sick of being egg-nored. Okay. All right. See, yeah, someone said it was good. All right, so then we have those, and then down to our the one-card joke from the UK. What is the best Christmas present you could receive? A broken drum. You can't beat it. That's one for Bradley. What's that? Yeah, that's right. All right, so step up in prayer. We're continuing down Acts. So we started and we're doing a series on Stephen. And then as we got into Acts and I was looking at Stephen and it kind of jumped into touch on Saul, which is Paul. So I was like, yeah, we're just going to continue on kind of running here with Acts. So that's where we're stepping this morning more into Acts. And we're going to be in Acts chapter 8, verse 9, 25. And we're looking at a heart change. That's kind of what we see in this chapter this morning. So let's just open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the time that we can just get together and have fellowship and laugh and just have some coffee and some donuts and congregate with each other and just kind of connect on where things are in our life, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll open doors for us to communicate with each other and that they will bleed over into just not on Sundays with personal connections, but we'll go more into the week for people to get together and just encourage one another as believers. Lord, we pray this morning that you'll speak to us. Have the Spirit, Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us to understand your word better. Help us to understand the principles that we can apply into our life better and give us encouragement in our souls, Lord, that we can better serve you. In your name we pray. Amen. So we left off last time I was here, we left off with Philip. Philip being one of the seven deacons that was brought on. And we kind of left there with Philip as he was now scattered after the death of Stephen. And he was one of those that scattered, and as he was out, we talked about the consistency of change, right? That this scattering happened. Philip goes out. And as he scattered, like many of the believers, except the apostles, they stayed in Jerusalem, but the scattering took place. And as they scattered, they were promoting and preaching the gospel. So that's where we are in chapter 8 here. Acts chapter 8. Starting in verse 9. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the great power." That's what the people would say. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. I'm just going to stop right there real quick. So once again, we see these miracles, not just with the apostles, but we see these miracles with the deacons. So right now we looked at two of the deacons, two of them. Stephen, which we looked at, that he had these great signs and miracles. And now we see it with Philip, right? So they were so connected with the Spirit and with God that they were performing these great signs and miracles, not the magic like Simon was doing. So obviously Simon saw these miracles and it intrigued him because that's what Simon did, like with magic, right? And we don't know if it was demonic. If it wasn't from the Lord at the time, it was from some type of other supernatural source, which would have been demonic, right? So, I'll go back to 13. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. So we see this transformation take place, kind of like it was a transformation of a changed heart, or maybe not a changed heart, right? And that's kind of what I wanted to look at today as I was thinking about this and reading this, and as we were looking at Stephen and now Philip, and the next week we get into another story of Philip that I just love that story. But this one, we find this guy. So he's in this city. Imagine this. So there's this guy in the city for a long time that was a sorcerer, right? He was in the town. He was in the city, and everyone in the, so he just wasn't an unknown magician or sorcerer. He was well known. So probably everyone in the city knew who this guy was, and they followed him. Why? They followed him because he did these miraculous wonders and these signs, and he was a magician, and he had these things that, was he healing people? I don't know, right? But he did these miraculous signs as a sorcerer. Because then we know what? Because we know that our world is not just here and now, right? We understand that there's the spiritual realm. Remember we talked about the spiritual realm? Spiritual realm has taken place here there's the spiritual side of the evil side, which this man was being given powers to do miraculous sign to whatever this magic he was doing. And he was known for it. So he was a well-known person. And then Philip comes into town. Philip comes in. When I say come into town, I always think of the Westerns. You know, it just popped into my mind. You see Sam Elliott coming in on his, carrying his pistols. But anyhow, I'm sorry. Philip comes into town. And Philip comes into town and he starts to what? He starts to preach the gospel in the town that he's in. Philip, with the constant change that was taking place, leaves where he was, Jerusalem, after the death, and goes into these towns, and now he's preaching in Samaria, and this sorcerer, with multiple other people, hear the gospel. Scripture tells us that Simon believed and was baptized as well. Okay, so Simon, he believed, he was baptized, but then as we go further into the chapter, Peter kind of scolds him for what he said because he wanted this gift, right? So there's a lot of doctrinal stuff in here that we could really split open. But after Philip preaches the gospel, what starts to happen? It gets back to the people at Jerusalem. So what takes place? The big guns come in. There we go again, the guns. Maybe I'm concentrating too much on my Second Amendment rights, but anyhow, the big guns come in. So who comes in? Peter and John leave Jerusalem and say, what's going on over here? Because all of a sudden they're hearing rumblings that, man, all these people now are scattering, and they just didn't scatter in fear. You remember we talked about that? They scattered, and they were given this sense of encouragement and courage. And as they went out, like Philip, they're preaching. And all this rumbling gets back to the main church in Jerusalem. So Peter and John say, we got to see what's going on. And they go out to Samaria. And when they get to Samaria, they see what's taking place. And what do? They come in and say, wow, the Lord is working here. These people believe. But guess what? The Spirit hasn't been given to them yet. So the Spirit was given to Jerusalem. This is exactly what Jesus said in the Gospels, that first the Spirit will be given and go and preach where? Jerusalem, and then where? Samaria. And that's, so boom, all of a sudden now they're in Samaria. And what caused that? That constant change of everything that God allowed to happen was for his purpose. And now Philip in Samaria, and now Peter and John go, and they say, well, you know, you've been baptized, and you believe, and you've been baptized, but the Spirit hasn't been given to you yet. So they lay their hands on these people, and they give the Spirit. And the Lord allows the Spirit to be transferred from the heavenly realms of how God first unleashed the Spirit upon the apostles, and now he's given this power through the Spirit, through these men, to unleash the Spirit to Samaria. Wow, right? Some people think on this thing, you know, you're getting some doctrinal stuff here. Some people think, well, you can release the Spirit by laying of hands. My personal opinion is God is so awesome. He can do exactly anything he wants, right? I'm not saying he doesn't work in however way he wants. But in today's realm, today's world, the Spirit has been released. The Spirit has been released in Jerusalem, Samaria, in the uttermost parts of the earth. The Spirit now is released. My personal doctrinal view on this, on when people say, well, people can lay their hands on people and release the Spirit. My personal opinion is, as people, when we have a heart change, and we're going to get more into that, when we have a heart change, and as a sinner, which I'm still a sinner, but I'm just a saved sinner, right? But when you have that understanding of, man, Jesus Christ died for me, and if I put my trust and believe in him and give him my sins and ask him for my forgiveness and follow him as my Lord and Savior, he's going to free me from my sins. At that point, I believe that's when the Holy Spirit is given to people. That's my personal understanding of Scripture, because the Spirit's been released. The Spirit has been released. Now it's people, humanity, have to accept that gift. And once we accept that gift, when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are filled with the Spirit. And how we use that Spirit and how we let the Spirit speak into us and how we understand God, that really comes down to a personal deal within the person, because we can either reject what the Spirit wants us to do, or we can hold on to that and we can follow everything that the Lord wants us to do, right? So that's kind of what was going on. So these guys come in, they release the Spirit to these people, and then we find Simon, who comes to them and says, wow, I saw the Spirit being released. How did that look? It doesn't say, does it? It just says the Spirit was released. But if Simon saw how the Spirit was, something dramatic must have happened. Because Simon, who believed, Simon, a sorcerer, a magician, who says he believed and was baptized, then the apostles come in and they lay hands on to release the Spirit into Samaria. And then Simon, who was used to magic, was used to this spiritual realm, was used to this domain of maybe things that don't look quite normal, right? And the Spirit was released, so he saw it. And he was like, dude, can I buy that? You know, can I pay you to have that same power that I can lay my hands on somebody and the Spirit can be given? Which then all of a sudden I think, and then Peter comes down pretty hard on him, doesn't he? He kind of rebukes him. And I look, and I'm not I'm not questioning Peter, right? He's an apostle. I'm not questioning. But I think about that. I can understand where Simon was coming from, because Simon's whole world up to this point was he was a magician. He was a sorcerer. He understood his world of profiting from these miracles. So in his mind, if he believed and was baptized or not, he was, but his heart wasn't changed. Because sometimes that takes time, sometimes for people, doesn't it? And Peter kind of saw this, and he kind of like rebuked him right away and said, "Whoa, buddy, Simon, you have no part in this ministry." Why? And this is what it says in verse. Oh, let me see. What verse was that? Verse 18. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying of the apostles' hands, he offered their money and said, "Give me also this ability, because that's what I want." And Peter said, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift with money." And he says, "You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right." Bam! That's the problem. That's the question. That's where we all are, myself included, the world. That's where we all are as humanity. Where is our heart? That's the question. A heart change. I know my heart, and if you're like me, your heart can go from anywhere from, you know, throughout the day, you're boom, you're mad about this, or you're loving this, or you're accepting this, and you're not accepting that, and your heart, and it goes in all sorts of directions, right? Simon's heart was all about what he already knew. So what did Simon knew? No. Simon knew, "I understand magic. I understand sorcery. I understand profiting from this. And I understand this guy, that people know me. I'm regarded as divine." He was looked upon as someone great. And he probably wanted to keep that greatness. Don't you think? It sounds like to me he wanted to. So he believed, scripture says he believed and was baptized. But did his heart change? Peter, if his heart changed or not, at this point, Peter called him out on it. And Peter said, "Simon, you have no part here, because your heart hasn't changed. You can believe all day long. We know Satan believes, right? We know the demons believe. Were they baptized? Well, being baptized doesn't save you. Does it? No. Believing saves you if you hold to Jesus Christ as the Son of God, who's the one who takes away our sin, that all salvation can only come through Jesus Christ. Well, the demons believe. Don't they? Like, we know that. And so Simon believed and was baptized, but where did it end up for him? That he gets rebuked. His heart wasn't right. When something isn't right, it changes things. This past week, I was had a problem on. I get a call on Monday, and you know, we're in the ice cream business and stuff. So I get a call on Monday from a dairy, and they're like, "Jeff, we ordered 2 totes of this product. We made 3," and I'm like, "Oh man, you made 3? Well, it was order." Anyhow, long story short is I had this tote, a 3,000-pound tote, that I had to get down to Virginia. So I'm like, okay, well, I can get it down. I was watching the weather and temperatures and everything else. I said, well, if I leave at 2:30 in the morning, I can go pick that up, get that down, go to Virginia. You know, calculate in my head. So Tuesday, I was up at 2:30, and I was home that following day, 12:30 at night, and I dropped into bed and done. I drove the whole time. But as I was driving, everything's fine. Everything's just fine. Everything was working fine. Driving, I'm 15 minutes from my location that I had to drop off at this dairy. And you know how that always works. You're 15 minutes and everything was smooth sailing. And then all of a sudden, someone comes past me in a car, a truck, honking the horn and pointing at the back of my trailer. I look out my rear view and there's this smoke billowing from one of the tires. I'm going, oh man, something wasn't right. Well, when things are right and things are going good, everything's good. But somebody noticed, these guys in the truck next to me noticed that my trailer had a problem, right? Did I know it? I didn't know it at the time. Did I know it? No, I didn't. These guys saw it, and that's kind of how Peter was. Peter looked at this situation, and Peter said, you know what, Simon? You might have believed, and you might have been baptized on the surface level, but in your heart, you haven't changed. This is a heart change deal. Kind of like my tire. So then I called this guy at the dairy, going back to that story. I'll end it so you don't leave you hanging. So I called the guy. I'm like, hey, do you think I can, I blew a wheel bearing. And I'm like, do you think I can make it 15 minutes real slow with a blown wheel bearing? He's like, yeah, go up to Tractor Supply. I'll meet you there. It's one good thing about dealing with a farmer, like, he shows up with his truck. He has all this stuff. He pulls out this air jack, puts it on there, lifts it up. And I went into Tractor Supply, come back out. But before I know it, boom, the whole thing's done, back on the road, you know. In 2 hours, I had a whole new wheel bearing stuck in there. But the whole thing was ripped out. And it was salvageable. Trailer was salvageable, so don't all worry about it. But anyhow, I had a problem. I had a problem. The guys in the truck next to me knew it was a problem. I didn't know it was a problem. And they saw it. Peter, that's how this was. Peter saw the problem. He's like, dude, Simon, you're smoking. Like, your heart isn't right. Something is wrong here. And what did he say? What did he say was wrong? Verse 23, for I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Man, that sounds like humanity, doesn't it? We're full of bitterness. We're full of sin. We don't want to let go of what we love. We want salvation and we want to hold to what Jesus tells us to do. We want to hold to the teachings that we see it from Christ, but so many times it's so hard to grab because we don't want to change our heart. I mean, just like Simon. And I honestly, it doesn't go on after this. I don't know if he truly became a believer. It kind of leaves us here. I don't know. But his heart, what's that heart change? And then I kind of looked at the bitterness. Hebrews. If you go over to Hebrews. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 14. Hebrews 12, 14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Verse 15. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. That bitter root that grows up, kind of what Peter was telling him is you have a bitterness. That bitterness might be you talk about sweet water and bitter water and that bitterness, was he all about himself? Was he full of pride? That's kind of when you read the scripture here that he was coming out of being somebody, had this pride that was maybe a bitterness. Or he loved how people looked at him and that puffed him up and he had this pride going on. Or was it a type of arrogance? Like, I have money. I'm going to buy that from you. Was it an arrogance that was taking place there? Or was it just his selfishness? You know, I don't know. Or was it just his ignorance? Because we don't get into where he ended up in his walk with Jesus at this time. But we do know that Peter called him out and said, you have this bitterness. You have this sin. And then you think about that. And what does our church do today? You know, what does our church do today? And I'm not just talking our church. I'm just talking the church in general. The church in general today, we will preach the gospel. We will do all sorts of like these events, these miraculous events. For instance, for the McDonald's, come get your shamrock shake, right? Okay, so we do an event to gather, to try to generate interest for people so they can know who we are. That's what Philip was doing. That's what the miracles were. Philip was out doing miracles, and it drawed these people in, and they saw it. And so many times, they people see it, and they're interested in the miracles, and they might accept Christ on something and believe and be baptized, but then does it stick, right? Does it stick? Because you have that bitter root that someone hasn't changed their heart. And that bitter root grows, and that bitter root becomes more important than what I really want from Jesus. You know, and that happens, and it grows, and it grows outside. It's kind of like, you ever have lamb's ear? You know what lamb's ear is in your garden? The other year, I'm still dealing with this. The other year, a couple years ago, I think all the kids were young. Jen came home. We were planting, you know, doing our landscaping, which we're not the best landscapers. It's, you know, but anyhow, we do our landscaping. She brought lamb's ears in because it's a ground cover and it grows. Dude, after like 2 years, I started ripping this stuff out and it's still growing. I find it in my yard. Like, how did the lamb's ear, this bitter root, this root that kind of just grows. So you have this lamb's ear that was placed here and now it's like out in my backyard. It's like bamboo or something. But so that bitter root gets into our heart because we're human. And it can fester and it can grow. Or as believers, we can have a heart change. As believers, we need to understand how humanity is around us all the time because we're no different. But we had a heart change. But humanity, so many people don't have a heart change. And I'm going to end with these. It's kind of like if you look at two hearts. Look at the thief on the cross. Thief on the cross was presented with who Jesus was as his savior. And what did this thief on the cross do? I believe. And Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't kind of backtrack. He wasn't looking for another option. Why? Because he was at the end and he knew it. The thief on the cross knew he had no option. He wasn't coming down. He wasn't looking back thinking, well, I'm going to have all these great things. This man, Simon, was presented with the gospel. And what happens? He wasn't at the end of his rope. He knew in his mind how great his life was. He had money. He had fame. He had fortune. He had anything he needed because all the people in the town saw how great he was, how divine he was. He had everything. But his heart didn't change. The thief on the cross, his heart changed. And many times, even as we look at our nation and we look at the world, and you look at economics, just like our country, the early founding of our country, it was solid on doctrine. It was solid on scripture. It was solid on who Jesus Christ was. And the church was strong. I mean, Harvard was founded and Princeton was founded. I think Princeton, but no, Harvard was founded as seminaries teaching God's word. Our first book used into public education issued by Congress was the Bible. We were solid on our belief system of who Jesus Christ was and who God was and, you know, who men and women were. I mean, let's face it. We were solid on that. And as people get better off and we don't rely on God as much, we rely on our pocketbook, we rely on our purse, we rely on our accounts, we kind of lose track, don't we? And it happens as a nation, it happens as people. How's our heart? How's our heart? You can pray this week. Pray this week for Saturday. It's a small little event to generate interest of our church, and primarily more so than our church, but Jesus is. And there's people, my belief is there's people that are still looking and searching and have questions. Pray for people's hearts this week during your prayer time. If you don't have a prayer time, start one this week for this specific prayer request. That the Lord will bring to McDonald's on Saturday someone that people that are searching, that have questions. That's what we want to do. We want to affect people's hearts and grab people like that and say, listen, we understand. Because, you know, as I said before, you know, the bulletin says it, and this, the church has said it on the bulletin and outside or wherever on for Ebenezer stuff for many years. What's it say? It says, a friendly church with a biblical message, or I forget the exact thing. This church is super friendly. We're a friendly church. We're not going to, hopefully we're not going to chase you away. I mean, you let me hear. It's pretty friendly, even though Bonnie makes fun of my jokes, but that's my prayer. Our prayer is that people's hearts will find out and see who Jesus is and take it to the level where the thief on the cross was, not where Simon was. But at the same time, the church needs to be like kind of how Peter was. Peter needs to see, Peter saw a problem in the guy's heart. Just like the guy saw a problem with my trailer and the tire all smoking out. He saw it, knew something was wrong. Peter saw it. Peter saw this guy and saw him and knew something was wrong and called him out on it. And that's Peter who himself denied Jesus, right? So that's kind of what we're all in this game together. And my prayer is for lost people. Lost people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for just this scripture that we see. Just see how this was, Lord. Unfortunately, I can understand this guy, Simon. You know, I understand. I understand that from that human level, Lord, of a desire to continue to hold on what we have and yet to the need to give up and change our heart. Lord, I pray for our church. I pray for, this week, as people drive by McDonald's and maybe that they'll see something and they'll understand, just want to understand, Lord, who our church is all about and that we know it's about you. Lord, I pray for that. I pray that you will give us an encouragement on our lips that see people where they are and that we don't accept people's sin, but we love them in spite of that. And we want to tell them about who you are and see them to make a life-changing experience, a heart change, just like you did for me. Lord, I pray for that. Lord, I just thank you for this time that we can be together. And I pray for this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Coffee and donuts are in the back. We are dismissed. So ask Bradley some questions on German. He's learning German, so.